Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Thanks for joining us as we continue with the Heaven series, where Dr. Neufeld teaches on what we must know about the final judgment. So let's join Dr. Neufeld as we look into our text found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15.
In this series, we have spoken about the reality of death, that heaven is not our default position, and that when someone dies in Christ now, there is a kind of intermediate state, a true paradise in the presence of God, while we yet await the resurrection of our perfect bodies at the second coming of Christ. So just so we're clear, let me recount the stages in our redemption. First, we hear the good news of Christ and believe, and we're born again. The life to come, eternal life, is already imparted into us now so that we have a foretaste of what is to come. Then if we should die before Christ returns, upon death, we will immediately be ushered into paradise or heaven, where we'll be in the presence of the Lord. If you've heard my argument yesterday, I think it possible, even likely, that there is some kind of an intermediate body in which we will live during this time, although the nature of this remains a mystery, as the Bible gives no clear picture of this, only that the estate of the dead in Christ is better by far than the living here on earth. Then when Christ returns, those who have died immediately receive their final resurrection bodies, and those who are alive in Christ at his return rise to meet Christ in the air and are instantly transformed, also having a resurrection body. In a later program, I'm going to discuss the exact nature of the resurrection body. I've also briefly discussed the reality of the millennium, a period of 1,000 years, where those believers redeemed by Christ with undying resurrection bodies assist him in the governance of this earth. At the end of the millennium, the earth and its elements will be dissolved, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works done in it will be exposed. Now, at that time, when the last chapter of this earth has been written, the Bible indicates the next great event. I'm reading Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, the final judgment presents us with a picture of a righteous God who demonstrates his justice in the life of every single human being. With the billions of people who have lived and died, not one life is forgotten. Not one deed in this earth can be covered up, either good or bad. As Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 3, "Therefore, what you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." You know, there are some who argue that there are three separate judgments, but, you know, from my perspective, all scriptural passages which speak about the final judgment all happen at the same time and at the same place. The final judgment will happen after the millennium and the rebellion that occurs in the end of it, resulting in Christ's final triumph. According to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, it is Jesus himself who will judge the living and the dead. That means that all who have died and all who remain at the end of the millennium will stand before Christ. In short, no one, including believers, will be excluded. But as Jesus indicates in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 32, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. We can see Jesus moving among the masses of humanity, arranging them in two different groups, the redeemed and those who have no redeemer. According to the Bible, unbelievers will be judged, believers will be judged, and the angelic beings will be judged. Let's look at each one of these in turn. First, notice that when humanity stands before the throne, books are opened. John doesn't tell us what these books are, but the context seems to indicate that these books contain the deeds of all people, what they have done, what they have left undone, what they have thought, what they have loved and hated. It's there in full, objective evaluation of every single human life. According to Jesus in Matthew 12:36, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word that they utter. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Now from this, it becomes clear that every single human being will be judged on the basis of the works they do and the works they have left undone. According to Romans 2:6, he will render to each one according to his works, and then later in verse 11, God shows no partiality. Your position in life, your wealth, and whatever might have been given you as an advantage in this life will all be cleared aside. And what will be the result of the opening of these books? Romans 3:10 already tells us of God's judgment. None is righteous, not one. But judgment, it seems, does more than simply find everyone wanting. According to our passage in verses 12 to 13, people are judged by what they have done. This, by the way, helps us to see two very important features of the final judgment. First, it helps us to rid ourselves of the mistaken notion that people are condemned because they didn't become Christians or because they rejected Christ. No, they will be condemned because of their deeds. It also helps us to answer those who say, well, what happens to the person who's never heard of Christ? And the answer is, he or she will be judged by their works, by what they've done. Romans 1, the wrath of God is poured out because people have suppressed a truth of God that they already knew. Judgment will be fair. Just to be clear, Jesus supplies us with everything we need to be spared from the devastating judgment to come and what is found in his substitutionary death on the cross. For without him, the judgment will be on the basis of our works. If we surrender our lives to him, then and only then will the judgment be based upon his works. But please also notice that because judgment is on the basis of works, punishment is meted out on the basis of works as well. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12:47-48. "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not make ready or act according to his will, shall receive a severe beating. But he who did not know and did what deserved a beating shall receive a light beating." Or in Matthew 11:22, Jesus tells the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. So to the answer to the question of whether there are degrees of punishment in hell, the answer is clearly yes. When books are opened, the exact punishment that fits the crime is meted out with fairness, with a full expression of the justice of God, tailor-made for every single human being. But what of believers? According to Revelation 20, another book is opened at the judgment, and it is the book of life. All those who died with their name already in the book of life were ushered into paradise immediately when they died, and all who are left alive at the coming of the Lord, who had their names in the book of life, will be taken up in the twinkling of an eye and will receive their resurrection bodies. And so as a matter of fact, by the time of the judgment before the great white throne, there really will be no surprises at all. So why this opening of the book of life? I think the answer is that the opening of the book of life is an important act nonetheless. It is to proclaim the work of Christ. This is a symbolic act that this book contains a list of those who also would have been condemned were it not for the saving work of Christ. Now, since Christ was condemned on our behalf, is there then no judgment for the saints? Well, the answer is, well, yes, there is. According to 2 Corinthians 5:9-10, Paul is speaking to believers and he says, "So whether we are at home or away, that is, whether we're alive here on earth or have died and are in the intermediate state, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Hence, there is a judgment yet coming for all who name the name of Christ." But what can this be, since the Bible makes it clear in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? When we come back, we will answer this all-important question. Because the answer to this question has so much to say about what we should anticipate in the judgment to come, and also in how we should conduct ourselves here on earth as we await the consummation of all things. We should look forward to the judgment not with a sense of dread, but even with a sense of anticipation. I'm going to help us to understand that when we come back.
This reminder of the final judgment of all humanity is an important one and also quite sobering. It reminds us that every single person, whether believer or unbeliever, is ultimately at the mercy or the punishment of God. We cannot even imagine what that final day, the Lord's Day, will be like. But as Christians, should we be fearful of the judgment to come? Join us again as Dr. Neufeld will answer this question in more detail. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are happy to offer our valuable listeners a pocketbook on What is the Gospel? Written by our Bible teacher, Dr. John Neufeld. The most important thing about us is what we think of Jesus. So what do you think about Jesus? If you know him as your friend and savior, then you will be glad to understand the details of what he did to secure your salvation. And if you haven't yet met him, this small book will be a wonderful introduction. Either way, come with an open mind and a willing heart to hear a message that has satisfied millions of lives in every generation for more than 2,000 years. In this booklet, allow Dr. John to walk you through the greatest news you will ever hear. Get your personal copy of this book, What is the Gospel? By calling us today on 9492-440070. Or just send your request with your address through SMS or WhatsApp on 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.